Until that song. And then it's all gone. It's like, oh, that song's amazing.
It is. I think there's some magical
there's
qualities to someone not speaking a single word of coherence, and yet the joy that opens up in me when I hear that song, I just absolutely adore that song.
No, it's three shows in a row that I start the show before, and then all of a sudden I hear that, and I'm just undone, which is so perfect. I love it.
Wonderful.
Done.
Right on.
Yeah. So.
Hello,
everybody.
Yes, we have quite the crowd here tonight. Let's give some shout-outs. We've got Ellen Chris from California. Hi, Ellen. I see you there. And we've got Marcia. Marcia's with us tonight from the show from yesterday. How you doing, Marcia?
Hi, Marcia. Hi, Ellen.
And Dennis is here. Simon's here. Me and you are here. We have a guest, guest 4310.
Yep.
We totally appreciate everybody being here. There's some wonderful energies going on. We're definitely smack in the middle of it. And, you know, I definitely want to, me and Janine, after I did the really sweet show with Dennis and Liana yesterday, me and Janine talked for like another 2 hours after the show, and there's just a... We
was
did.
I there?
Yeah, well, you know, part of you was there.
No, I can't believe 2 hours.
Yeah, we hung up, I did the show from 5 to 7, called you right after the show,
God.
We hung up the phone at 9.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, we were just hitting on, you know, it
I
was
know,
just
we
like,
were.
There
we
are,
were.
There are and I know everybody's had this experience when you're talking to, you know, a dear friend or, I mean, to be honest, you're talking to anybody, but most of the time with me, it's a dear friend. And, you know, the momentum is just unbelievable where you just, it's like, you know, doors are opening up and clarity is unlocking itself. And it's so interesting because, you know, there's a point in time in our lives where I think many of us look outside for the big changes, outside our being. You know, we look to get the job or we look to get the relationship or, you know, whatever the outside thing is. But I'll tell you, when you shift everything and you do the inside investigating and you do the inside exploring and then you get the shifts going on the inside, you know, in my humble opinion, they are just, you know, they're the size of supernovas. And, you know, they happen on galactic scales. And, you know, and it's priceless. It's changing. My game is changing on a consistent basis and has been. Like I said to Janine a few weeks ago, I have a milestone. Every single day there's a milestone that is awakened within me and a clarity. And it's you know, it's very simply my perception, but, you know, it's how it affects the rest of my experience is profound. So simple on the inside really does create profound on the outside. And it's so I highly recommend, you know, right now everything is preened or primed. To go within.
You know, from our conversation yesterday, which has been, you know, it wasn't a new conversation in that there's been a thread that we've been following. But then I really heard something last night in our conversation where that's why I reposted in my profile picture that sun as the representation of my picture, because you know, remember I was saying to you, speaking of milestones every day, you know, there have been, you know, over and over again, profound synchronicities, experiences, silver linings, the unexpected occurring for me. And, you know, I said to you, I'm in awe of it. And then you picked up that, you know, there it is again, where I'll say something like that, or I'll say, you know, Goldie, I think, and you go, no, you know. And what you hit on, which I thought was really good, was that, because if anyone who's listening, there was a time not too long ago, maybe 3 months ago at the most, I had a dream that there was this sun in front of me that didn't throw off heat or anything, and it was in front of me, and I believe my son was standing next to me, which is ironic because it's the same word, different.
Well, your physical son,
yeah,
meaning the child you bore, right, was standing next to you as you were standing in front of what I would consider
son,
a portal.
S-U-N. Or a representation of maybe my authentic self, or maybe, you know, whatever.
Something big, right, your galacticness, yes.
I stood in front of it, and he said, you know, Mom, go. And I stood there, but I didn't necessarily go into it. Now, you know, everything in its own timing is absolutely true. But yesterday you brought up such a good point about when I say, oh, I'm in awe of that. And basically, when you're in your sun, when you're standing in your authenticity or your authentic self, really confidently, I don't even think awe, you know, yes, your you know, beauty is just, I appreciate it, but
I was going to say gratitude is there, definitely.
Gratitude is there, but you don't keep saying, oh, that's so surprising, oh, I can't believe this is happening, oh, that's amazing. And so
I really
got that yesterday, that was a next place for me in understanding that is not outside of me, these awesome experiences. They're kind of like everyday, you know, inside me experiences that are really kind of at this point normal, you know.
Yeah.
And I used to, you know, and so that was a really great, just what happened in our conversation after your radio show yesterday.
It was awesome. It was an awesome conversation.
Which correlates to this feeling that others may have, where for a while now I've been feeling this sense that this understanding or this knowing is very, very, very close to me, and yet it's just right there. And then I think that was part of it, that I was sensing this, you know, this knowing. And it's really, again, it's not outside of me, it's inside of me. So that integration of that, or that bringing that in, or even that perspective of getting that, is just another, you know, shift for me. So, and it's funny, because then I get into these places where I kind of almost become silent, and I'm, you know, I go, oh, wow, I wish I could speak, but I'm really feeling silent. And I know that when I speak, you know, I'll be able to, but there's part of me that's so in there deep that I'm like, where are you, Janine? Let's come on, let's relate, you know? And then I have to say, I hear that song, the La 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 song, and
okay.
I'm like right here. I'm like something about that song just brings me right to that great place of presence and, you know, lightheartedness.
Yeah, exactly.
Because sometimes in these perceptions, you know, it's like you go down in there, and it's nice to be sort of called up by the singing, that singing, because it's just great. So, yeah, so that was from yesterday to today, and I saw a bluebird this morning, which is one of my, you know, I haven't seen a bluebird in a while, and that's always a profound, wonderful bluebird experience. And as some of our listeners know about me, and I do wanted to ask something from the call yesterday. Marsha was just speaking, and you guys all got cut off at the hour. She was just saying, "I'm sitting here looking at a crow." And then I was like, oh, I can't wait to hear. And then you guys got cut off, and I never
heard. There was a crow with a piece of bread in it that continued to, it was flying around her window, if not towards her window. Marsha, we'll bring you on. I just want to get some of the conversation rolling. She hasn't put her hand up yet anyway.
Curious.
I hear you.
Because that got cut off, and I was like, well, what about the crow, you know? And,
well, we kept going. If you go to the archives also, it'll be in the archives. It was just because, you know, after 2 hours now, if you're not on the telephone, you don't continue to hear it. So, and because you weren't, you know, hosting that show with me. It's all good.
And Lisa's here. Lisa's on.
I know. Yes, shout out to Lisa. I said hi to Lisa in the chat room. I didn't say it to her. Yes, but we want to give her a verbal shout out. We gave everybody verbal shout outs. And guest 4970 is here, too.
Nice. Very nice.
Yes, we will give everybody a shout out. So, we've been talking a lot lately, and I was definitely curious about some of the things that you might want to share. I want to go over a little bit this zero point, because it just seems to be a really profound, you know, this is the kind of topic that it doesn't surprise me that it's going from, you know, Saturday show with Dennis and Liana to Sunday yesterday with Dennis and Liana to tonight with you, because there just seems that, you know, intuitively I can feel that, and it's not even just intuitively, there's a Q&A, I'm going to post it later on. There's a Q&A that Gianvallo did, it must have been recently, where he's talking all about the Merkaba, and which is the geometrical shape of, everything that's in the physical world. It's the magnetism geometry around everything on the planet, and not just on the planet. Our sun has a Merkaba around it. Our galaxy has a Merkaba around it. It's like anything that's constructed into the physical plane has a Merkaba around it. And Gianvallo is what I just saw this today. Actually, I still have it up. I just saw it today. I don't know when it was downloaded. It was downloaded, June 21st. Okay, it was downloaded right around the summer solstice. So, so he's talking about how the Merkabas can be activated artificially, and he's talking about how the Merkaba can be activated organically. But it does seem to be, now, because one of the things Gianvallo said, that it's funny how I can tend to pick out things that I want to hear. I didn't agree with everything he said. I agree with a lot of it. But one of the things he said, which I thought was kind of profound, was that this is everybody on the planet, this is the last lifetime on this planet, because the shifting that he's speaking about, different than George Kavassalis, he has a different time frame. He's kind of very much in alignment with the Native Americans and the Aborigines, who are, you know, basically, as well as the Mayans. He's very he's working very closely with the Mayans, but he is talking about the Earth changes that are happening. Is that the planet itself is going into another dimension, which is absolutely what George has been saying. George simply calls it the planets going into a star. Drumvalo simply says it from a fourth dimension, fifth dimensional perspective. But when I hear this and when I see an experience in my own life, the energy that we seem to just intuitively be, you know, kind of gravitating towards, like the zero point, because it's so interesting. What I got this weekend was that the zero point is happening. It's happening almost to us. It's happening within us, where this great compression, our inner beings are going through this great compression, which is, again, kind of why I'm referencing how when you're looking at your life from the inside out, it takes on such a different feeling and a different sensation, because there's really no fear around, you know, around the outside world kind of letting go. Because, you know, I was thinking a lot about this today, about how, you know, this is the Mystical Mother Earth show, and we're often, you know, our references, often our metaphors are Mother Nature and are the organic things that happen in Mother Nature. And metamorphosis, which is different than just being rebirthed, metamorphosis, which we do have, you know, we have certain, the butterfly is not the only species to morph. The frog also morphs from the tadpole to the frog. The dragonfly. There's a few beings, and I think it's important that you know we kind of really focus on that. What humanity is going through is not a rebirth; it's a metamorphosis. You know, we from what my understanding is, and this happens to also be George's understanding, is that, you know, we're coming into a whole new humanity. You know, when we go down into our zero point, which is so interesting because Drumvalo speaks about these activations, for lack of a better term, I resonate with what he's speaking about it. But what's interesting is Drumvalo's talking about us going back to who we were when we first came into the physical experience, into this dimension and this planet. And see, I know it sounds subtle, but this is. See, I'm listening to that, going, no, I'm not resonating with going back to be what I once was when I came here, because this was something that was interesting that I don't remember who was sharing it yesterday, but they were sharing about. I think it was Leanna who was sharing about. You know, you have your positive experiences, you have your negative or dark experiences. You know, and then they're going to come together. And when they come together in true metamorphosis, in true alchemy, what's created is something more than, like, first there's one, it's separated. And when you come back together, when you bring those two separate parts together once again, it is more than what it was when it was separated or when it originally came together. You know, because the experiences themselves that they had in that separation immediately makes them different than what they were when they were together. It's
right.
You know, that's a journey of isness, you know, and what is. And so I listen to, like, you know, I mean, and Janine, you've taught me this, you know, taught me in the sense of by living, being a living example of it. I'm just noticing subtle nuances, because I'm looking for the word birth when we're going to talk about the zero point. And like, I don't know if I'm nitpicking. This is just kind of what I'm going through, where, you know, I was hearing Drumvalo saying a lot that we're going to go back to, we're going to be back to where we were when, you know, when we, in other words, all the manipulation that's happened to our DNA and our beings and our experience, we're going to go back to, like, that, you know, like it didn't happen. And it's like,
yeah.
That doesn't sound organic to me, right? Because there's nothing that's not of use. You know, even we might not like going through the dark. But ask anybody who's been through the dark, and, you know, what we're really starting to get a grip on is that it is in the darkness that we find our strength, and it is in the darkness that we find our compassion, and we find our true selves, you know, and in that true self – it's like the dark, you're not a victim. The minute you're not a victim, the dark is really just, you know, ask any artist. Try painting or creating a picture without using shadows, and it's a very simplistic, you know, it doesn't have depth. The depth of our life comes in our shadow and in our dark, and we don't, there's no resistance to that. It's, there's beauty in the darkness. In fact, and let's talk about that. In the womb in the feminine is represented in the darkness. You know, this is...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a part of us. It's a beautiful part of us. So, you know, and I love Junvalo. I really, this man has such a beautiful presence and essence. And I'm sharing this because, you know, we're in June. I really had a sense, and I believe Mother Nature shared this with me. I had a sense that from June 21st or the 20th, the summer solstice until December 21st, the winter solstice, that we are in like an accelerated gestation period prior to our birth. And, you know, things are just moving now. I mean, moving, grooving, shaking, twirling, everything. And it's going to show up on the outside of our world at some point. But I'll be honest with you, I don't even care whether it does or it doesn't. That is not... It used to be, my focus was, you know, well, we need it to, you know, we need the collapse of the economy, or we need the, you know, if you're going to have Galactics land on the front yard of the White House, well, let's get it done already. I'm so, I don't care about that happening, because when I focus within, oh my God, are there things happening so obviously, and it's the personal journey, my personal journey for me is what's happening, and the sense of remembering who I am. And I equate the remembering to who I am directly to the confidence I have in my being.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with my doing or my the actions that I'm taking, even though synchronicity plays a big part, it also is an indicator for me that, okay, you're in alignment with your inner being. But it's a confidence. And that's why I liked what you shared, you know, when we first came on, that you're, you know, because the confidence is, it's a journey where we look at our weaknesses, which we all have. This is part of, you know, we came to be separate. You know, we came to forget. So we shouldn't beat ourselves up for forgetting. That's the point.
Yeah.
And now we're in this gestation period where accelerated remembrance is a potential. I'm living it, and it really does just, it continues to equate to a confidence that is just undeniably, you know, the confidence that I haven't made wrong choices in my life. And you know, it's almost like there's a cleansing of all the poo-poo stuff that education and religion and, you know, the conditioning of that was going on in the separation that had me believing I was just a human, a body, you know, that all my emotions and thoughts were only mine, and, you know, all that... that very tight, limited, third-dimensional way is just kind of, I think a good way to describe it, I feel like I'm blossoming. Like my flower is opening up, and because it's such a graceful experience from the inside. And that's not to say that I have not slid into home and, you know, got a scab from the side of my knee up to my rump, you know, from, you know, coming into home plate, you know, at 90 miles an hour, you know, because that's not the grace that I'm speaking about. It, you know, it's okay to bump around this human world with people we love and with things and stuff and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about a willingness to allow the shift to happen. There's an amazing momentum that's happening right now. And, you know, I'm inviting everybody to, because it's available to everybody. None of this is the elite keeping it from us, or it's not about money or status. This is you know, this is just such a potent time to find the seed within yourself, the seed of your soul, and and nurture that seed with love and sunshine and water and, you know, attention, you know, because I think it will pay off greatly in these accelerated times between now and December.
You know, I was saying to you last night that this feels, well, Bill Wood kind of talked about how as you are present in the organic timeline, it's literally changing as you are in it. Like I don't think anything is preset, predestined. I do think that we affect it, you know, in our presence, and I think that what I notice is, and this is another one of those feelings of trying to give something words that, you know, in the darkness of the deep feminine nature, or in the darkness of that mystery, or the darkness of the uterus, or the darkness, that these feel so new to me and almost pioneering into these places of the unknown, and that to even language them is a challenge, but I enjoy the challenge, but I also feel that it's new. And so when I hear people, you know, trying to describe, there's a going back to, I don't personally resonate with that, because I think that, to me, that feels like an explanation that almost wants to bring people into a familiarity. And I don't think that we need to know where we're going or the familiarity. I think that the expansion and the courageous and the new being is beyond what we were before. I don't even know, you know, what I'm talking about in a way. Like, I know this is all new, and but I feel it, I sense it, and, you know, it's almost like dare to speak of it, dare to go, you know, to those deep waters, because, you know, that's fun for me. This is like pioneering, but I don't know, and I don't think that, you know, there's a part of us that should be okay with not knowing, because you know, it's part of the adventure. I mean, you know, you keep moving forward. You keep moving on the adventure, not knowing where you're going to end up. And I think that as you do that, it changes.
Absolutely.
It's kind of the law of physics in a way. It's like, you know, as you're in it, it changes. As you're in it, it changes. And I love that, because what that requires is presence, and what that requires is not really being fixed on trying to figure this out. I don't see that as the answer. You know, I see this, the word that came up for me a lot lately is openness. Openness to what? Whatever. And then just sort of this knowing something's there and available, but I don't necessarily know what that is. And so, you know, I'm okay with that. And that, I mean, to me, what ends up happening is this like explosion of possibilities. And I just think that, that's why that song strikes me, because it puts everything into perspective. It's like, yeah, whatever, la 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 la. You know, it's like,
la 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 with grandness, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's royal, like, la la la.
It's sort of like, what do you get if you figure this out? Nothing.
Well, right on, yeah. On some levels.
You're still going, you know, and it's like, you know, so I think that there's a childlike wonder and a curiosity and, you know, flying by the seat of your pants and, you know, showing up. You know, yesterday Marcia mentioned this this man, Larry Merkelis, and he's an Aleut, like an indigenous person, and I loved what the speech that he gave was, let goodness take its place. And that really struck me because there's a lot coming up for me now that's very present, that's showing up in this book that I just wrote that's coming out in September. And let goodness take its place is part of that. And it struck me. So I went to the website. I Googled let goodness take its place. And it's really marvelous. But what I loved was he wrote that he used to get up in front of indigenous people to give these speeches, and he used to read from a piece of paper. And then there was this very wise man that he used to go back and forth with, like exchanging tape recordings to each other and just sort of, you know, almost like what you and I do, but like they did it through tape recording.
Yeah.
And then this is what the man wrote him. He goes, anybody that gets up in front of a crowd of people and has to read from a piece of paper has no business being up there.
Oh, wow.
And what I love about that, I love that there's, what that says to me is, you know, just be open, be present. In a moment something shows up, you know, and it's, so I guess I really, I get excited about not knowing. I just do. It's like, because even with this radio show, you know, you and me will sit there and we go, what are we going to talk about? And we're like, it's going to show up. And you know, it always does.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So there's just for me this,
well, because I think Carolyn Mace also says that, you know, what if the answer is the mystery? You know, like that, don't make it what she says, what if the answer to our question is the mystery? The mystery is the answer to the question. You'll hear that in Spiritual Madness.
Right.
Which is because I agree with that, but I must admit, see, because I think we can take that statement, you know, or I'm going to take that statement one more step in that. See, I'm okay that it's a mystery, but I'm also, I enjoy the journey of unraveling it and unfolding it.
Yeah, but I think that that's fun because that's like looking for the clues. It's kind of like going on one of those great.
Exactly.
No, it's going on one of those great
adventures.
You know, they hide stuff and you get a map and they say, look for it.
Yeah, it's why I love the, well,
no,
the,
it
guy,
is
the
fun.
Movie we just saw. Who's the movie? Downey Jr. is in those movies. Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, yes. No, these are, I do think that this is childlike, amazing, the greatest sort of, you know, going on the treasure hunt, you know, and you get the map and you look for the clues and the keys and, you know, there's always twists and turns. And, but I think Carolyn Mace is right that, you know, that you keep unfolding, but right before you is all this incredible not knowing and mystery. And I think that, you know, there's a real art to not being attached to knowing.
Yeah.
Because it's a game changer even from a point of physics, that by not putting something on something, it changes it. It allows it to become something. You know,
that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, and it's, I see, to me that's fun, you know, and, you know, I mean, you and I, we love to go into our conversations, and I arrive somewhere, and I'm like, and then I say to you, Goldie, I think I've gone as far as I can, and I'm up, you know, you kind of meet this boundary in this new territory, and then, you know, we wait, and then the territory goes further, and, you know, that's, I mean, there's fellow people out there talking all about that, like Nassim and George, but I don't resonate with the going back thing. I just don't.
Well, and you know, I, to Drumvalo's credit, I do want to say that he definitely addresses the unknown part of this. In other words, he's talking about the Merkaba will take us to a certain point, and then from there it's unknown. So, you know, it's almost like he's just saying he knows the next step, and from that he absolutely, because I don't want it to sound like, you know, Drumvalo's saying, oh, I know everything. You know, Drumvalo is such a humble.
I got that too.
I'm making, you know, showing that, you know, I just finished listening to the five. I fell asleep during some of them. It's just, I'm very particular because, I'll just be honest with you and the audience. When I hear people saying, you know, the word Merkaba and all that, I've spent many years building Merkabah. I mean, Drumroll will say he originally was teaching it artificially. I happened to learn the breathing through him artificially. This is going back like 10 years ago. Now, and he says that that's a different, what he teaches now is an organic way that it goes through the heart. And I resonate with all this, but I also resonate with the idea that, well, first of all, he was doing a Q&A in these five videos, and people were saying, how can you know if your Merkabah is active? And it always kind of makes me chuckle a little when people ask the question, tell me how I can know something about myself? You know, because for me, the initial first answer is just truly want to know.
Yeah.
Because the question, how can we want to know? Because when I was watching this video, I was like, I wonder if my Merkabah is going. And, you know, and then I started thinking about experiences that I've had and have. And I know my Merkabah is going because I've seen the crisscrossing energy that, I mean, I can see in my eyes, in my physical eyes, in the bottom parts of my eyes, when I'm looking at certain sunlight and certain bulb lights, like if it's just the first light I hit in a dark room, I can see the energy movement of like a figure eight at the bottom of my eyes. And I've been able to see this for, I don't know, like 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, you know, when they ask Drumroll, you know, because I think everything that's happening right now is happening on a global scale, but it's not about looking, because Drumroll also talks about that we're going to go back into one being.
Yeah.
And I resonate more with George in that we all came into this space and we are one being on Mother Earth. We share the experiences of Mother Earth. But I'm really about that. I'm a sovereign being. I don't resonate with that. I'm going to go into the fourth dimension, then the fifth dimension to come back into this one God that, you know, I guess I was birthed from. I wasn't birthed from anything. I'm eternal. I'm just a sovereign being who came into this experience, and I'm experiencing it with all of you, and I'm connected because of this experience with all of you. But when I'm done with this experience, I'm not necessarily connected with all of you, even though, of course, I don't believe it's just in this space that I'm connected to you, Janine. I believe wherever your solar system is, I'm there because I resonate with you. So in my resonance with you as a human being, I'm sure I resonate with other aspects of you that were, you know, I'm like, well, how does Janine's universe work? You know, we're in this, because God to me is the one that created this universe. But I'm a God because I create my universe, and I've thought about that, going, gee, you know, I wonder what some of the attributes of my universe is, and you know, and I know for a fact that there's animals and plants have they're higher up on the scale in my universe. You know, in other words, there's an equality because in my personal physical world, there is an equality with the trees and the animals. You know, they speak to me just as infants speak to me. I have this, it's a natural ability to speak to that which can't speak very easily and very, and you know, I trust it. It's real. I know it. And I know that must show up in my universe because, or my planet or my solar system, you know, because it shows up in here, and we're fractals. This whole thing is a fractal. Anyways, I realize that I'm getting...
I like that.
Thanks.
I like the question because there's something really different in a self-reflective way. Like, I've never heard it put that way, where you can actually be somewhat self-reflective about your attributes by describing what your universe is like. I think that's
very
interesting. You know, and to actually pinpoint that in your universe, the animals and the plants and the trees have an importance and an equality. And I really like that, because that's, to me, it's a different way of thinking. like, that just struck me as, like, now that's not something people say every day.
Right, right. No, well, indeed.
No, but I like it because what it does to me is it not only becomes self-reflective of us as we are right here, but it becomes self-reflective of us as a larger being. I mean, that to
right.
me immediately
right.
puts someone in a different perspective, you know, which I love that. It's like a challenge question, but it's like a question that asks someone to describe what's in their universe. I think that's really cool.
But, okay, listen, you just triggered something in me, and it was something actually, because me and Marcia spoke on the phone today.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And one of the things that we mentioned was how many women we are noticing like thunderstorms. And I know you like thunderstorms,
yeah,
and I know I like thunderstorms. And I'm not saying men don't like thunderstorms, but it's so interesting because, you know, so on my planet, I have thunderstorms. I know I have thunderstorms because I get a kick out of them. I love that mm-hmm. energy. Crack,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, that shows
in.
It's the warrior, you know, on
yeah.
crack, for God's sakes. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is some real, you know, the lightning, the sound. But I also, when I think of that, going, okay, well, but see, in the world of harmony, a thunderstorm comes from an anger. You know, I don't think it's necessarily coming from a harmony, because what is it? It's hot and cold, bouncing off of each other, you know, colliding into each other, and so I know that, because I think it was George that said it, that, you know, all of us have these different reality, there's all these different reality potentials. That there could be 99% light and 1% dark, and 99% dark and 1% light, and of course every other potential in between. Where I don't know that on my in my universe that it would be 70 degrees and sunny all the time. I can almost tell you I don't think it is, because that's not me. I, you know, not that I, you know, I wouldn't mind living in Hawaii for a little bit, because that's kind of the weather they have, and
yeah.
you know, but I enjoy the snow and what it does to help me slow down and go within, how the environment. It's not just cold, but there's this crispness and the crystallization, you know, of water and how it glistens in the sun. And, you know, I have sat literally in 4 feet of snow in a it's like almost becomes like a cave. But what it is we have in our backyard this growth of plants that it's like trees are bent over. And so mm-hmm. it's literally snow on top because of the trees, snow on the bottom for the what fell through, and then this the trunk of the tree is on its side. So I would literally just kind of crawl in and be engulfed in this crystalline experience.
Right.
And, you know, it was just fascinating, and it was the silence of snow, which is so different than the silence on a summer night. You know what I mean? Meaning outside silence. It's. I just know I have I diversity. I enjoy diversity. I enjoy diversity tremendously, which is also one of the reasons why I'm remembering in that how much I enjoy being on Earth. I mean, Earth is probably. I mean, according to George, it is the most diverse experience anywhere in the cosmos. I mean, there's just nowhere else where we have the amount of life in its diverse forms as we do here. And, you know, that's something that when you know, when you're in fear and, you know, you're looking to the galactics to save you from, you know, from all the hell going on, being unleashed in this, you know, in this experience right now, you miss the beauty that is, you know, just right there, because it's in nature. Nature's not running away. You know, nature's got her own time frame, her own time zone. You know, it's. I love that nature doesn't clean up.
Me too.
I really like that. I mean, there's just something about, you know,
the wind
wow,
that blows things around. And
exactly. A tree falls down, nature leaves it there. and the tree, the next one will grow around it. And, I mean, there's just something really beautiful about absolutely no human interference, and there's also something very beautiful about our interference. You know, it's both ends, because, you know, I am also enjoying being a human.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, oh, gee, it only took me 47 years and, you know, coming down to the end of the last 6 months of 2012 before I got there, but by golly, I got there.
No, I know. And you know, yeah, but isn't that's a shift. I mean, and you say that. You say that to me, like, you're not needing to know that, you know, spaceships are coming, or needing to know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. It's wonderful. You know, I mean, that's a real shift that has occurred in, what, a year?
Well, it's hard for me. You know, time, when you're doing these inner shifts, you know, it's interesting. You really, your concept of, because see, it's the inside part of us is not based on, you know, that it's 8:45 right now. I mean,
but our language kind of gives away what our present process is.
Okay.
And, you know,
that's true.
Yeah, and you can observe in me, you know, how my language is describing myself probably differently than 2 years ago when we, you know, did a radio show together and you interviewed me and then we did Mastermind and, you know, and I'll notice these things about myself that I realize are so different than 2 years ago, different than a year ago, and the same for you. And I think that you're, see, you know how I am about the subtle things and the small things.
I know, that's what I love about you.
But for me, when I hear you describe what your universe, based on who you are, would be, I just immediately, you know, I'm paying attention. Because I love that. You know, I love hearing, because it says so much, you know, and it says so much in a way that I guess I understand. When someone starts describing their world to me, I start feeling them, you know, because, yeah, and to you to describe that snow cave and the, I mean, that's like, that's a language to me, you know, and
that's
the world of creativity, you know.
Because it's in the moment without any attachment. It's just something that shows up.
Yeah, and if you listen to if you listen to Amitya Swami do that they do some segment on YouTube of him with creativity with Jeffrey Mishloff or something. Yeah. So in this one moment Amitya Swami says that creativity is basically us internally organizing at creating harmony within ourselves.
Nice.
So I love that, like we take what's in us. And so I was just like, when you were describing your universe, it was like you were describing you. And
right.
I was feeling this creation of you. And when you describe like the Peruvian jungle, but then, and then you're describing the snow cave, and it's just so into your world. It's like you've pulled me into your world. And
something else I noticed recently is that when I was getting the insights about the recent insights about on Father's Day, that the insight about how I didn't do anything wrong in my life, you know, that the choices I've made, you know, are for me, and it all of a sudden hit me that, because it's a bird's eye point of view, you know, it's like it is the golden hawk of me being fly. You know, it's like all of a sudden I'm flying above my own life portrait.
Yeah.
And once I get to the bigger picture, it's like when I'm on the ground looking at the portrait, you know, because isn't there some Hindu thing where they go, you know, describe what you see, and they're in front of an elephant and somebody goes, well, life is, you know, long and wrinkly, and somebody else says, oh no, it's thin and flexible, and you know, and it's the metaphor is wherever you were standing in front of the elephant, that's how you're describing life, but you got to move back and say, oh, it's an elephant that we're just describing each part of the elephant. And because this is what nature keeps telling me. It is the reflection of me.
Right.
You know, And Drumvalo was saying it too. What was interesting, what he was saying is that all the universe that we've created outside of us is a hologram of what
I know.
It's created from our consciousness. That's what's creating it. And because that kind of goes into what the zero point we were talking about yesterday and Saturday is about, because our minds go, you know, the zero point is essentially the entire cosmos is going to compress down to the space, you know, the size of a molecule. You know, and you look around and go, you know, who's doing the packing? How are you going to get that done? And it's like, because the mind believes that everything that it is created, even the physicalness of life, the physical we believe is, you know, in the conditioned space, believe is unchangeable. And remember when I was telling you just a few days ago or a week ago or whatever, that I was noticing my ability to heal certain things was dramatically increased in speed.
Yeah.
And I have been teaching my kids that I work with, and they're now 5 and 8, and shucks, I've been teaching them since Anya was 2. For 6 years, I would tell them, every time they got hurt, whether they, you know, whatever, you knock an elbow, you hit your pinky toe against the table, or you cut yourself, whatever. Immediately, as soon as, what I look at and go, as soon as the cells have been misplaced from harmony, harmony is well-being, and whatever you're doing, whether you're banging your ankle or you're cutting your, you know, you cut your hand when you're opening the bagel, as soon as you see that, say, I am a field, I am healed. Mm. Because it seems to be, and I've been doing this for 6 years, I still do it, the word ow doesn't even come out of my mouth anymore. I mean, I've literally trained my response. The initial response when anything, my cells are displaced, because that really is how I look at it, because after I say I am a field and I am healed, it's like, all right, I'm commander here. Cells, get back to that placement that's in harmony. Come on, I don't got time for this. Get back into cell placement. And I can tell you that, I mean, I burnt my finger the other day on cooking some eggs, and by 6 hours later, it's not that it blistered, but the pain had disappeared basically immediately. That is one thing that this consciousness work with the body does. The pain goes away almost immediately. Sometimes I don't even bruise. Sometimes I do. And I guess it's a practice like anything else. It's just a practice, but it's part of the understanding that this is all coming from the point of view that it's made up from my consciousness, not that the table is made up of molecules that are, this is a hard table. I you know, in order to break down this table, I would need other hard molecules to break it down, like a hammer or, you know, whatever. You know, it's getting more into the perspective of everything is energy, and that perspective, as opposed to the density of being, third dimensional and that perspective.
Yeah. Well, yesterday on the show with Dennis and Leanne, you in somewhere in the first like 15, 20 minutes, you said you were, you know, this is in regards to the zero point, but this is also about what you were just saying in terms of the body and healing. But you said something to the effect where it went by really quick, but it stayed with me, where, because I thought it was a great description of something difficult to describe. But you said something like, when you think of the zero point or what that is, it seems it's beyond the mental conditioning. It has nothing to do with the mental conditioning, which in itself, to think outside of mental conditioning is an extraordinary experience that, you know, I even question go to myself going, you know, what is that like? Because that is, it's almost hard to know what the mental conditioning, how deep does a rabbit hole go? So when we think about mental conditioning, really to if at the zero point, if you're relieved of the mental conditioning, you know, it's like all bets are off. You know what I mean? It's like, so there's this place that at this point for me is incomprehensible, although I can I can get close to it. I can sense something. But I
right.
but when you talk about, you know, it's the same thing though when you talk about what we've been mentally conditioned to think of our bodies as and our healing time.
Exactly.
And this, it's the same
exactly.
thing. So
yes.
I guess what kind of could be fun is to apply everything we do and see and say as what part of this is the mental conditioning. Because, you know, perhaps,
exactly, Janine. Exactly.
Right.
Because, oh, no, go ahead. You first, cause,
no, no, that's huge. Really it. That's really it. Because,
well, but
you know,
that's huge. Because, you know, I watch people. Remember when we were watching George when he did the talk in Australia? And
yeah.
You know, I mean, George's book, George's talks, he'll say to people, this is going to be a challenge to people to believe that the moon is, you know, basically rigged with like a supercomputer to mind control humanity. Most people, if I walked up to my dad and said that, you know, I mean, you just get it. You know, many people on the planet are going to go, you know, you're off your rocker, because the challenge is to the mental capacity, because people have taken that what they have been taught it must be what is, because their reality is based on what they've been taught is how, this is what we're talking about, that it's the function of their consciousness that creates their reality. If the reality starts breaking down, they haven't been taught how to handle the breakdown of reality. They, you know, even though it's so funny because we're watching the breakdown on so many levels of life, you know, we're breaking down the forest, we're breaking down, you know, our food chain, we're breaking down everything, yet everybody's going, hold on to reality, we need that truth. I mean, it's just so funny in the paradox of it all. But
yeah.
So
yeah.
The trick is to play with your realities, play with what you've been taught on, maybe not on global scales, you know, if that can be, if that's too much and that's scary, but play with it on realities of, I'm trying to think of some of the things that, you know, I've been taught and then, you know, would like clearly just show me.
Well, you know, just even, you know, general suggestions of being excited about not knowing and being open, just being open to, you know, the understanding that, you know, the rabbit hole of mental conditioning goes so deep that, you know, I think in some ways it's unfathomable to even know what the world exists as, or what is, you know, to be not living in a mentally conditioned state. So to just
right.
know that is kind of, see, for me.
See, but no, you do got to act on it, because, see, if you don't act on it, you're never going to have that knowing part.
But I think that the approaches, you know, it's like approaching the edge of the diving board. You know,
okay.
The approaches is that you are acknowledging, you are inviting, that you're excited about the openness to even considering that this reality on every level is pretty much a construct of mental conditioning. You know,
right.
so you are approaching
right.
zero point when you actually even entertain that idea. Because the fact that it's such a large concept, and that, like, you know, it to me that's, like, okay. And what I think you were going to say about the George and the audience was, in the Australian talk, was you could feel the almost aggressiveness of the audience, because I think George was challenging their mental conditioning, where, you know, which of course if you go to George, you're kind of asking for it, which
yeah.
I think is great, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know, and you can notice yourself going, how am I handling this? You know, I was really, you know, having fun watching them kind of, you know, they were squirming. And, you know, and it's like, you know, and it's like, well, you know, come on, you know, consider it. It would be, you know, see, and therein lies already, I will tell you, you know, when I contemplated in the infinite, that I am infinite, okay. I felt something, something cellular. I was feeling something. You even called
me.
No, right on.
Definitely. Because I would say intention doesn't do anything. And yesterday's show talked about that, too, when Leanna said she intended, I forget what, maybe to have her strength or something.
Yeah.
And then had a really challenging experience, you know, and once she got the correlation that, oh, I intended to have wisdom, I think, you know, clear wisdom.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
The veil on some levels dropped, you know, and, you know, there was a very dark period in her life because of
this.
So you're absolutely right that if you set that intention, just the intention to be welcoming to the unknown, it's going to come in. It is going to come in. Because the nature of the universe is based on our consciousness and you know, where we are, and we get to choose that on some level, not on all levels.
I also think, you know, for the listeners, it would be a fun practice to actually, what you just did, which was decide, you know, because of the attributes and because of what people, you know, feel is important to them, to what does their universe look like? Because basically, you're already moving out of a mental conditioning, because we were never told, well, you can make your own universe. You have your own universe. You are your own universe. Because
right.
That's like, so these are practices that are, they kind of, you know, shake up and open up, and as I always put it, to a more spectacular internal landscape, because you're
right
opening
on.
Your
right
world.
On.
You're
yeah,
opening
definitely.
The world.
Definitely.
So these are, you know, that's that would be something to do, you know.
You know, on one of those rainy days when you lose power. I mean electrical power. Yes, when you have a blackout, go within.
You definitely don't lose personal power.
No, especially during a thunderstorm. God love the hurricanes. I know I do.
Yeah, and I love blizzards, you know.
I love blizzards as well. I do,
yeah.
Too. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
That's what I love about the East Coast. You know, we get all the,
yeah.
we get all
yeah.
four seasons. I personally love it. I think fall and autumn is such an, you know, that the colors of the trees with the orange, the yellows, the gold, and the reds, it's like they're on fire, but they don't burn. You know, it's. I just love the changing, you know, because that's another thing. I mean, I think right now it's super, super important to be comfortable with the changes that are happening, because it's almost like tuning into what's going on, that, you know, the changes aren't asking for our permission. They're just happening, you know, but being in alignment with these changes. And you know what? I want to put it out there too. Carolyn Mace does a talk. You can find it on Amazon. I think it's like, less than $20, I believe, called Spiritual Madness.
Yeah.
I so recommend this to everybody. First of all, Carolyn is, I mean, she's just brilliant. I mean, her ability to see energy gives her a clarity that is just, it's profound.
Yeah.
And she's also, she's very, you know, New York, Long Island kind of, she's aggressive as a teacher. Some people don't like that. I personally... She's very assertive. She's very confident. I like that.
Yes, she can be a thunderstorm.
She can be a thunderstorm, exactly. So if you resonate with thunderstorms, highly, highly recommend the Spiritual Madness talk, because she really helps bring awareness to the whole paradox of how we're letting go of ourselves and finding ourselves simultaneously. And that paradox, just that one paradox, and she addresses a few of them, is really, it's profound in its nature, because it's exactly what we're going through right now. And, you know, just to have a few, you know, signs and pointers, you know, to let you know it's okay. Spiritual Madness, it's about going mad. It's about losing
yeah.
our minds. We are
That's
going
so perfect,
mad.
Isn't it?
And you know... There's something about, you know, because what I see it all the time on Facebook, you know, genius and mad, being mad is just a hair different, you know, or they were mad until, you know, they saw that, you know, they applied the technology or whatever, and then they were geniuses, you know, it's such it's an interesting way to, you know, to view yourself, because it's part of the understanding that we're unhooking from mass consciousness.
Yes.
Being hooked into mass consciousness while you're going through a spiritual madness period, which is an awakening of your soul, you know, you can't follow two masters. You know, if what people think about you becomes, you know, the dominating factor of your life, your soul is going to be the one that loses out. You know, when we connect with our soul, the matrix does not want that. So it is going to, you know, verbally persecute you for doing that. And you have to be strong enough to know that connecting with your soul is the eternal journey that is being encouraged right now in Mother Nature. It really is. It's the organic journey. It's the organic timeline. And, you know, it's kind of humorous after a while when people call you crazy, but you're feeling more connected and grounded and stable than you've ever felt in your life. You just laugh because first they'll ridicule you and then they'll come up and go, you know, what are you doing? Can you show me how to feel like that? Because, you know, I'm going crazy and you look pretty calm over there. You know, it's a journey we all got to take. And Carolyn says it really beautifully where, you know, no one can appoint to us this level of presence. It's a presence that you have to experience in your own physical being, and it's what's going to activate our Merkabahs, and, you know, it's happening anyway. It's really just a matter of kind of giving ourselves permission to go off the grid, to go off the grid and allow the authentic mess to just be. You know,
yeah.
I mean, because inevitably, it's funny because I've been watching a lot of X-Files, God bless, and there really is so much metaphors going on with the things that I see on that show. I mean, because at one point I was watching this guy, they would shed their skin, and, you know, and I'm talking through like this bloated, watered look. It was so disgusting. And underneath, you know, once it shed its skin, you know, was this perfectly healthy being. And I just looked and I went, wow, that almost feels like, you know, that's that cocooning that we do as part of this gestation process. That, you know, shedding the skin of, like, I had a girlfriend of mine tell me yesterday or the day before, I think the day before yesterday, she goes, we were talking about when I was with Almeen and when I was doing Almeen's work and I was, you know, building Merkabahs were just the beginning. Almeen has very... it's a very mental process in her spirituality. You build, you know, seer stones in your head and all sorts of stuff. And I know there's power in it because I've seen the color of the wood on my house change in the rooms that I would do these ceremonies and these processes. But it was very cerebral. It was just inevitably I went, I surrender. I can't do this shit anymore. I just can't. But it was interesting because she told me that when I was doing that, that there was one day that I got super pissed off at her and was like, what do you mean you won't buy a sound elixir? You're going to buy a goddamn sound elixir. And when she told me that I was pissed off at her for not doing that, you know, at first when she said it to me, I was truly embarrassed for myself. I was like, wow, you know, I said, I'm sorry. And she's like, that, you know, we took a break, you know. She let me alone because I can be a zealot. I can be a zealot. And I know it because it's the dark side of enthusiasm is where, you know, you're enthusiastic about things, but it's your way and it's your stuff and you want people to, you know, you want people to get that. You know, and in my journey, I'm willing to, you know, that's okay. That's part of Goldie. I recognize it now and try consciously to pull myself back and allow people, like what just happened just now, I could feel it. It was like, you know, come on, people, you got to take an action. And you're like, well, you know what? We can just set the intention and, you know, and let people experience the time frames that they're going to experience it on their own. And And, you know, something happened a lot quicker, right? I wasn't, because I'm telling you, I really do get that. I think there was a day in my life when I would have been like, no, damn it. Either you're going to jump off the cliff or I'm going to push you off the cliff. You choose.
Right.
And I don't care. You choose. Because I do know that some of my greatest moments were when, driving in second gear on the wrong side of the road, getting thrown out of apartments, and within hours finding another one, having my car be totaled, and 2 days later having the cop come and say, a cop that wasn't even on the case, go, come here, we're gonna here's a car, you tell me if this is what you saw. The magic happens when you jump off the cliff, and there is something about, I really do believe that my confidence comes from the fact that I've jumped off of cliffs and I've spread wings, however metaphorically that happened. You know what I mean? The magic showed up. But that is something that, everybody has to, I do understand that everybody's got to do that at their own pace.
I love the spiritual madness thing, because synchronistically, I just finished my book last week and it went off to the printers, and that was an experience in itself where I literally was surprised that I could almost not talk. I got really quiet, not like depressed, but like there was something going on for me where I just was, empty, and I let it go, and it was a 5-year project, and it went off into someone else's hands, and now it's getting made, and it was I was noticing this, and it was actually taking me by surprise that I was like, I can't talk. And so, but what I'm listening to you talk about the zero point, and I'm listening to you talk about spiritual madness. And of course, I reflected immediately. I go, in my story, there's a point where my young girl character, has had several events where it's pushed her and pushed her and pushed her to the brink of breaking, where she literally is quote, kind of running away at the same time, but also just leaving, society, so to speak. And she has this dream, and I don't want to give too much of the story away, but what's so amazing is that you the zero point and the spiritual madness, which, who doesn't relate to that when you have let yourself go to these places where, I go, in the last, in the last, 2 years, it's like I've had at least, 5 nervous breakdowns. And it's like, but it was good because it took me to the edge of myself. I dug down deep inside and found that place, where, it's like, go. And I was that character, that's what it was happening to me. But So anyway, she has this dream, and she's down in the depths of the deepest part of the ocean. And she comes across this, creature that is a mythological story, but she in the dream, it's very real. And literally she's looking into the mouth of this being, and all it is dark. And she wants to yell, what is it I'm supposed to know? What is it I'm supposed to know? And this, all she can see is looking into the big open mouth, and it's just dark. And she wants to yell, what is it I'm supposed to know? But she can't, no words come out. She can't speak. And,
oh, wow.
And this being, isn't answering her either. So it's this moment of, high frustration, and she was telling the story later to another character, and she goes, and at that point I thought I was either going crazy or I was going to die.
Nice.
And she didn't do either, but I mean we all know how that
well
feels.
But you do kind of do. I think you die a thousand deaths,
right?
Yes,
you do. But I'm saying that my character, it, to me, there was almost a zero point moment there for my character.
I agree.
Yeah, where there was this point where it just, there was, she couldn't speak, this being couldn't talk,
right.
And all she did was look into this blackness, and it was in that moment where she could have went crazy, she could have died, and yet it was the turn in the story. It's where everything turned around.
Nice.
And, yeah.
Nice.
So,
exactly.
Right. So,
exactly.
So, you know, it's fun that, you know, you're talking about this stuff and I'm going into my story and I'm going, there it is. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's revealing itself. And guess what? In my story, of course, if anyone reads it, you'll realize that I've created my universe.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And you know, and I put a lot in there making sure, you know, that this was no flat surface.
Yes, you got a lot of depth in there. Wasn't it your son too that said, "Make it dark, Mom, make it dark."
Oh yeah. Well, that was in the magic gown. He said,
oh, okay.
"Mom," he said, you know, he really gave me the pep talk. He goes, "You know, don't make your bad guys just a little bad. You know, you've got to go for it here." And I loved that. And then I co-authored this book with a man from Italy, which was really fun too, because similar to my son, his energy,
mm-hmm.
I felt that it helps me push myself to delve into the deeper, the darker, the more aggressive, the
nice.
the juicy stuff. Yeah, and to also to push myself to say, you know, come on, you know, this is all pastel colors here. You know,
exactly. Throw in the storm or two.
And I'll tell you, after 5 years and this story went off to the printers, you felt it. I couldn't talk. I was heard down at the bottom of the ocean going, I can't talk.
Well,
I told
Janine, and I'll tell the audience now, you know, it was after you give birth, and I realized, you know, you guys, you might not know what giving birth is. Hey, listen, I have never given birth to a physical child either, but, you know, I can watch it on TLC. It's clearly after you give birth, there's such a huge release that there's a regrouping, you know, where the hormones have to kind of rebalance themselves and the body realizes, you know, it's a sole proprietor again. You know, it's just about you and you're not second anymore. You know, there's such an intimate, you know, dance with self.
Yeah.
After you give birth and you know, a project, because it was funny. I mean, Janine will talk to me and this project already has legs, man. She's already telling Janine what she wants on, and I'm calling it a she. That I just tend to do that with the non-physical things.
Not a river goddess, so it's a she.
Oh, okay, there you go. So, and she's telling Janine what's going to be on the cover. I mean, it's got a face of its own. I mean, it's got a personality, and you know, and so. Because I was, you know, believe all weekend long, it was so funny because I was like having these awakenings going, I got to share. I really want to get on the air. I got to share. And, you know, and Janine kept going, you know, I got some stuff going on. I can't talk. And I'm going, okay, Janine. And, you know, and blessed be, that's when I called, you know, Dennis up. Or Dennis asked me, actually. I didn't even ask him. He was like, do you want to be my guest? Yes. Yes, I want to be your guest. No, indeed, of course. Yeah,
right.
It was awesome.
Like, it's like I thought the cover was supposed to be this way, but, you know, the book let me know the cover was that way. And, you know, Dennis called you, and then you had the show, and that was perfect because I listened, which was really nice for me.
It was awesome.
I listened to your show, and it was great. And, and so, you know, but I'll tell you, I mean, you know, I just know that
I'm glad you're talking tonight, though. I'm glad you're talking tonight.
And I felt myself coming out of it. You know, I could feel myself, you know, emerging from wherever I had been, you know. And, you know, in some ways, you know, when you know, it's really something to experience cellular responses to achievements or processes or even, you know, entertaining the word infinite. You know, I'm very becoming more attuned to, like, you know, going, wow, I'm really in something. You know, it's much more, I'm much more astute now to even recognizing that where, you know, there's a need for silence or there's this need for, you know, I don't know, quiet or, you know, and you witnessed it with me and I've even witnessed it with you or there was like a
three. Right on.
Yeah,
right
where you were, and that's
See, that's funny though. Mine comes in anger.
No, but there was a time where were you angry and quiet?
Well, I remember that the time that I couldn't do the show. It was like I can't talk because it was another time.
Where you were just quiet, you know, and you were in your process and it's really kind of cool because I could tell. I was witnessing myself going, wow, you know, I'm in something. And then I could feel myself coming out of it yesterday. And it was really good because, remember, I said, Goldie, I'm really in something. And you go, okay. But then you said, so you think you'll do a show tomorrow night? And I'm like, yep, I can tell I'm coming out of it.
Well, you know, I wouldn't even suggest, are you coming out or have you integrated it through? Like,
I don't know.
You know. Yeah, because it's still a part of you. Yeah, you don't let go of stuff. I mean, meaning, I don't know. And I'm not trying to be a stickler.
That's a good point. No, it's a good point.
Yeah, because coming out of what, you? I mean, well, that's birthing, though.
Wait, let me think about that. Coming out of, I don't know, it felt like I was in something and then I was emerging. And by the way, you could also say that I was emerging more integrated.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So maybe it's both.
The both,
you know,
yeah.
Integrated and coming out, because I felt like I was somewhere and then I did. I even think I used that word with you, like, yeah, I feel like I'm coming out of it. So in some ways, you know, that's a really good point because it's a simultaneous integration, letting go, emerging, birthing. You know, who knows? Maybe that's what the zero point is. It's everything in one, like,
yeah,
know.
Exactly. Exactly. See, but because, you know, it's important because it's not either or, it's and.
It's
all of it. And that's
part
of the mental conditioning that has to relax, that, you know, because our mental conditioning has everything so polarized.
Yes.
You know, was I doing my life wrong? You know, when I was choosing drugs, was that wrong? You know, no, if it was, you know, ironically, here I come to find out that, the potential that my soul was being saved from negative vampire souls because I was doing the drugs. It's like, wow, that's just, you know, that to me at this point in my journey, that is as sweet as it gets.
You just said a mouthful, though, because you just said mental conditioning, which I was talking about how you said, you know, zero point is beyond the mental conditioning place, okay? But mental conditioning, you just said, what did you just say? It was amazing. I was just
well,
writing
about, did I, you're so
no,
good.
No, oh,
about,
no,
was
no,
I living my life
polarity.
Wrong?
It creates a polarity.
It creates a polarity, exactly.
That's very interesting because, you know, creating a polarity is the, right, I think that's really the rigidness of life. It's also the polarity perception just changes everything where it's not all, it has to be one thing or the other. So it's a shift in perspective of, you know, it's not a coming out, it's not a letting go, it's not a arriving, it's not a going back, it's all of them at once.
Exactly.
and that's a fun, you know, that's really fun because all of a sudden, you know, you are, mental conditioning is kind of being, you know, it's
challenged.
Becoming unconditioned because
right. Well,
because,
there it is. Right, you're becoming multidimensional.
Yeah, because so that's a real, that was a really great statement. See,
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah. We love when Janine's back, don't we? Yes, everybody, we know we love when Janine's back. Janine catches these things. I just ramble them out, and Janine really gets them juicy and deep, and I just love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. You know, Lulu's not the only one living a juicy life.
The juicy tour.
Exactly. I got some juices going on, too. I won't even go further than that. We're a good, clean show around here. Yes, we are. Ha, ha, ha. Cha-cha-ching. So no, right on though. It really is. It's living, and it just, it really does feel right now that, you know, as much as we're joking around, it the constructs are breaking down, and we're just kind of, you know, going along with the breakdown, you know,
well,
embracing,
you know,
the chaos instead of being afraid of the chaos, embracing it.
Yeah, and also, you know, good indication of when, you know, mental conditioning is sort of, you know, in place is when you're seeing things from a polarity point of view. That's a very good, you know, kind of, you know, oh, that's interesting. I'm seeing it from a polarity point of view. My, you know, I did that wrong. Mom, I, you know, I screwed up. Oh, I didn't do that right. You know, that's a mental conditioning place. That's a polarity place. So I just
exactly.
think that's an incredibly applicable, you know, piece to take away from tonight. Like, I love that when, you know, there's these, like, great, you know, treasures and, you know, and yeah, I mean, that's just
right on, right on,
yeah, right?
Right on. No, because that, and it really is, they're game changers, because it's so funny, it doesn't make necessarily my journey right. It neutralizes it that I'm just starting to truly embrace the authentic life, because authentically, it was absolutely, I have zero regrets in my life. I mean, I've never regretted my life. There's been things I've wished for and didn't get, but that's not regret. But when there's no regrets, and when there's, see, for me, it was just, I guess it was just a piece of clarity that, you know, I just kind of sit here scratching my head going, who would have thunk? You know, it was almost like, you know, if you eat garlic, the vampires don't want you.
Really?
You know, like, who knew cocaine? The vampires didn't want cocaine in their blood. I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, like, wow, that's kind of interesting that on some level that protected me from, you know, because, and I'm not saying that I have not experienced vampire energy. Of course I have. We were all conditioned to experience that, you
mm-hmm.
know, totally, but there's just so... In a world that you know is upside down, once that awareness starts becoming, you know, a part of your experience, it's almost like, you know, jumping off a cliff is really about kind of stepping up on a curb, you know, because you got to change it upside down. Everything starts getting turned upside down. You know, failing becomes succeeding. You know, green becomes stop and red becomes go. It's just
Well, flipping belief systems, you've been doing that, I've been doing that, you'll
right.
notice, but what,
right.
you know, what we thought, we flip it, and it's like, wow, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and a lot of the people that we, and, you know, and those, see, I think all these things are becoming more and more anchored in our awareness, which, you know, that's what I take away from. It's like,
yeah.
yesterday when you said, I don't know, the zero point just seems like it's something that has nothing to do with the mental conditioning. And I went, that's it. You know, and
yeah.
I was like, that's
yeah.
it. And then tonight, you said mental conditioning, you know, really, you know, this is the world of polarity. And that is. And it's like, you know, that's a big thing. That is a big thing.
Yeah.
And then noticing that belief systems, they're being flipped. They're truly
yeah.
being flipped. What
yeah.
we thought we did wrong is actually what we did right.
you
yeah, know,
you know, how many people say during a rainy day, it's a real crappy day outside? You know,
yeah.
and I thought to myself, wow, live in a place that, you know, it hasn't rained in years. Live in a drought. Boy,
yeah,
you will dance like you never danced before on a rainy day. It's just so interesting, you know. And like I said, it's just kind of becoming aware of your own being. Because,
yeah.
you know, because I do find it humorous when I talk to people who they are completely aware of the people in their lives, but they do not apply it to self.
Right.
That I must admit, sometimes I get very frustrated with that. And I get it because, and then on the nights that I'm frustrated, you know, I'll be like, after I get out of a mental loop of going, why the hell don't they see that in themselves? And I'll go, Goldie. Maybe they're showing you something. you know, and I'll go, yeah, you know, because I really do see adamantly people not seeing it in themselves. I mean, they're so adamant about their part. And of course, from the outside, when you see both people, you know, you see the person, you know, blaming the partner, and not necessarily blaming, but so clearly seeing the attributes in the outside world and not applying it to self, that if they can do that, you know, let us not be so grand, you know, grand delusional ourselves, Goldie. If they can do it, so can you. Meaning, there's things I don't see. And when I know that, that's when I start my intentions going, show me the subtle. Show me
right.
what I'm not seeing. Because if you, that can be, because it used to be, okay, what am I not seeing? But for some reason, I guess, too, I didn't think I could see it. It was like, why? If they're not seeing it, they're my reflection. What am I not seeing that I can't see? And it's like, I can see it, Goldie. Ask to see it. Ask to
yes,
see it from self.
Exactly.
Don't ask to see it from the people in your circle, because it's just the trigger to show me more about me. And, you know, indeed, I have actually seen a few of my friends shift and do, you know, they are starting to see some of the stuff within themselves. You know, in other words, once I get it in myself, it shows up. And
that's really cool, because to me that's you know, that's like almost environmental. Your environment almost shifts around you once you start really integrating that work inside you. It really affects those around you, which that stuff fascinates me. You know, how you know your own energy field, because you've taken on and owned your own process, and you've owned your own, you know, kind of
reflection,
you know, and also really given your authentic self sort of the go ahead, like, you know, show me, you know.
Okay.
You're no longer, you know, pushing away these parts of ourselves that we didn't want to see, and we see them in other people,
exactly.
But we're like welcoming them, you know.
Yeah.
And it's such a game changer, because I think that's the first stage of the beautiful thing of that. But the second stage is that it affects others. You know,
it really does. It does.
Because, and
monumentally,
you know,
I mean, I'm talking people like our parents who. How many of us know that our parents seem to keep us in our teenage years well into our 80s? there are many of us who experience parents who just, you know, my father, you know, kept me in my teen years, which is when I was the biggest fuck-up that I could really be, at least where he was aware of it. He kept me in that time, you know, as that being well into my 40s. Well into my, it was when... I
but
stopped trying to convince him that,
right,
that he...
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was you that changed
my
perspective of yourself.
Of him. Well, of him going... Well, no, okay, go ahead. You say it.
Because maybe even, you know, you start seeing yourself not as fucking up, but as, you know, this is who you are, the defiant Goldie, who, you know, didn't really conform to, you know,
right,
all the rules. And as you became more accepting of yourself, I really think that shifts the environment around you.
That's exactly what happened. That really is. Because you know what it is? I stopped seeing myself through his eyes. See, my choices were not right for his life. They were right for my life. But
yeah.
I kept seeing myself as he saw me as making mistakes, because he wanted education. He wanted to be part of the system. You know, I didn't want to be part of the system, and I clearly was not, you know, I did the associate's degree, and that as soon as that was done, I was like, all right, we are so done with the academic world. Not
right.
At least the four-walled kind that give you, you know, like I continue to learn what I choose to learn through the internet and through being in nature,
sure,
not from being in a world where, you know, you got to cross your T's and dot your I's, because I mean, and it was bullshit anyways, because teachers are, it was so easy to figure out the teacher. I was acing all my classes simply because I figured out what they wanted. I mean, you know, and I've had that ability since I was like in seventh grade. I mean, I've just always known that. Remember, I told you that chameleon thing I got, where I can chameleon to people around me. You know, you serve their ego, and they stroke. You know, they just stroke you with A's and B's. That's what they do. You know, and once you figure that out, you know, and you get a couple of answers right. It's just such a. It's so political, it's stupid.
But
you're absolutely right that I started seeing myself through my own eyes, and it's not that I you know, even though there was a point in my life where I told my father, I'm just going to make it that it doesn't matter what you have to say, because there was a dynamic as a child that I had to flip, and that was the his control. He had a lot of control over me, and of course he had the control because I gave it to him. You know, I was like, I need you to take care of me, and I never seemed to lose that as I got older, which of course, if you don't lose that ability with your parents, well, then why should he ever stop looking at me as a teenager? You know, that...
Yeah, the relationship or the dynamic, you know, stayed the same, but it really was, I think, you that started to integrate yourself and see the wisdom of your life.
Yeah.
And then as you do that, it just, I don't know, it just changes, you know?
Well, no, there was awarenesses, because... The clarity I had one day with my father was that when he had, you know, really just ripped me a new asshole about the radio, being on the radio, and how it was, you know, a pipe dream, and it was all going to amount to nothing, and he wasn't going to support it at all. And that day I remember going, this is him. He is the reflection of my own self-doubt that I can do anything with this. And so once I had that separation that he was my subconscious, and that's exactly what I got. It was like, he is a reflection of my subconscious. He will now be the gauge. I'll work on my subconscious, and he will be the messenger to which my subconscious,
I got that.
I was like, okay, so he's going to be the messenger of my subconscious. And, you know, whatever happened and progressively he would, you know, open up when I used to do the show at home. He'd go, how'd the show go? I mean, he would, now he's asking me about it. Just that. And you know, being polite to be, you know, it wasn't like he was actually looking for details. But, you know, and then he'd say to me, do you have any sponsors? And I'd be like, nope, not yet. And, you know, it was just more... It wasn't so negative. It became more neutral and kind of just fluffy and light going. And then, of course, this year, he is my sponsor. He is our sponsor. He sponsored the show. He paid for me and you to have our show for the next year. And, you know, that is, it really is a testimony.
Isn't it? It is.
It really is. It really is. And I love sharing it because I don't believe I'm alone in having karmic issues with my parents. You know, I think we all have that on some level, and it's a process of, you know, having our parents showing us back, you know, parts of us we might not see so clearly. So you take the blame off of them for not believing in you and, you know, start being responsible for maybe not believing in you. And then start working on it.
It's a self-reflection of your own confidence issues or self-esteem issues or giving yourself permission to live your passion and your dream issues or, you want their blessing, but that doesn't always happen. And so, you know, you got to kind of go out and do it for yourself.
And then I'm almost, you know, I bet you, you know, 9/10 out of the time, your parents will support you. Because they really are a reflection of us. As much as I have seen this in the nanny world, as much as we are their reflections. You know, like, I have clearly seen in the nanny world a parent see the shadow side of themselves in their child.
Right.
Going, why is my child not confident? You know, and I scratch my head in amusement almost going, because I'm on the outside and I know the parent that's saying that doesn't have self-confidence. You know, it's like, so where do you think she got that from? I wonder how that... Well, and it's the mental conditioning and...
also self-reflection, which, you know...
Right.
For a lot of listeners, that's like really very active. Self-reflection is like a very, you know, a lot of us are doing that. But I think these are
beautifully.
Yes, beautifully.
Yeah.
But I do think that these subtleties of noticing, you know, the changes in one of our close dynamic, whether it's a parent or just close dynamics, the changes in another person sometimes have to do with the integration we're doing in ourselves that that, you know, that changes the dynamic for sure. It changes the environment.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. And I, you know, yeah. And I'm acutely aware of that myself. I don't know. Like you said, you know, you love discovering, you love learning, you love looking. And I love feeling these kind of noticings about the dynamics of relating and what it says about the self, and then how that interplays with people. I just love that, you know.
Right on. Me too. And you know, it really is. The journey is because, like, there are just nights where I'll just sit, you know, Scott will be asleep, you know, everything's off. I'm just sitting in the dark, and I'll be like, you know, it's amazing to me how magical life is. And because I remember when I was a kid wanting life to be so magical, and of course the institutions that I was subscribed to were all telling me it wasn't, you know. And I remember that being a real sad time for me, you know, to let go of life being magical. Because I remember when I got out of high school, and I knew immediately when I got out of high school I was not going to college. I mean, I went to college, but not out of high school. And, you know, and I remember going, all right, I want to try, you know, let's try doing this business thing. Because the truth is, I always knew I was intelligent. I always knew that. Even, you know, when I was a total screw-up in high school, I was screwing up because I wasn't in class, not because I didn't know the work.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, you know, and I worked at a bank, and I was like, okay, you know, we're going to get dressed up and be part of corporate, you know, and after 3 years, it just became so obvious to me that there was politics going on, there was lies and bullshit and cliques, and, you know, and I was 21, and I went, you know, well, to be honest, I got fired from the bank because I remember the bank, everybody used to go, you can't steal money from a bank because between checks and balances, and that's a lie, and I proved it. And I never got, they could not prove that I'd stole the money because that was the point, but they clearly sensed that I did, and so I got fired, which was fine. And from that point forward, I was like, I need to work for myself. And then it was like I started reversing once again because I was cleaning houses for 4 years, and I loved it. And the truth is, when I cleaned houses, I have never taken a dime. I lived with a lot of integrity. Part of the reason why I stole money from the bank was because they said it couldn't be done, which – when people tell me things can't be done, that is such a trigger for me to go, oh, really? Really? Yeah. It can't be done? You know, because, and I get it. See, it's part of the magic. Because that's, in a world of magic, you would never say something's impossible, ever.
Right.
And here's the amazing part that I'm learning through conspiracy theories and all the alike, is the forces that be that are kind of running and manipulating everything, they're using magic all over the place. I mean, it's dark magic, but it is. This whole fucking world is engulfed in magic. And they've got the wool over everybody's eyes going, the ones that are teaching the dummying down of it going, there's no magic in the world. It's like,
yeah, it's like the robbing of that. Everything's possible, magical. Life is, every day is milestones, you know. But you know where that is the opposite. You know that's again the flipping of the belief system.
Exactly.
You know, exactly.
And
that's another game changer.
That,
you know,
is a game changer.
When you
that's
get that,
exactly
when you
right.
get that, that's absolutely not true. You know taking money from the bank is impossible. Well, it's possible, you know. Right.
I mean, then I took $52,000 when I did it through bankruptcy, and see, by that point I was already clear. I mean, the credit cards were sending me. I had 7 credit cards going, and I didn't even have an income that was on the books. I had $10,000 limits on 7 credit cards. How is that possible? You know, I mean, like, what are they? They're clearly not following whatever plan they're supposed to follow. And if you're going to follow the plan of nothing, well, I'm gonna manipulate your manipulation. because I knew when I wrote the first check, it was like, I have no intention of ever paying this back. I go, and I said, either the economy will collapse, because I've known that the economy was going to collapse years before it did, or I'll go bankrupt. And, you know, and I mean, my father goes to me when the bankruptcy came in, because it was after I lived on $52,000 for 3 years. And so in the fourth year when the calls or creditors are calling in and they're stopping they stopped access to the money. So we're going through the bankruptcy, the whole process. My father goes, do you want to go to therapy for this? And I went, no. And he was like, you know, really? You know, your credit line is going to be bad for, 7 years. And I went, so? Like, I go, Dad, I did this on purpose. And yeah. you could tell it was just like a cartoon thing. it was like I blew up an Acme dynamite in his head. Because to be quite honest, and I've told my friends this, I think I told Maggie this recently. When I chose to go bankrupt intentionally, the biggest fear for me was not cashing those $10,000 checks knowing I wasn't going to pay it back. My biggest fear was breaking the paradigm of my father and what he believed in me.
Yeah.
That was my biggest fear. The control he had, because I knew damn well that I had, my credit was perfect prior to me going to bank. I mean, I had I always paid my bills. I mean, I still to this day, when I have the money, I always pay. Like, if I have a good month, I give my father as much money as I can physically live without to pay my rent. If I don't make the money, I tell him I can't give it to him. I can't give you what I don't have. But if I have it, I'm not hoarding it, afraid that I won't make it again. I'm very in touch with, if I have it, I'm happy to pay my bills with it. I'll live with zero to pay my bills. I don't have any trouble paying for something. If I use electricity, I'll pay for electricity. That doesn't, like, some people write their bills and I think they get these, real heavy feelings of like they're a victim of paying their bills.
Yeah, no, that's important.
I've never had that.
I like that perspective because, that's good modeling for me. I used to get some nervousness about it, but that shifted for me.
Okay.
And I'm really happy about that. There was some kind of negative scarcity, weird thing going on there for me. And I could never really figure it out because I always knew I was smart too. And I was like, this doesn't make sense to me. But whatever it was, I was at least aware of it. And I knew that wasn't good for me. So I did really work on that knowing. But that kind of attitude was what my goal was, is to like not have this working me, not have this affecting me as
right, and the flip side of that is knowing you sustain yourself. You are your sustenance.
Well, yes, and so those were for me, and this is always those were really good challenges to come into that awareness that I am, I sustain myself.
Exactly.
Those were really good. And then I guess maybe that was even the purpose of the whole thing,
I think it is, because this is part of the unplugging of the matrix. That's, it's like the truth underneath the conditioning. And once we pull out the conditioning, there's nothing left but the truth underneath. Because it's not like we don't have to create the truth. We just have to, because that's part of the, I guess it's part of a system, because unplugging, this is one of the things I'll unplug, certain beliefs, and then it seems paradoxically, at simultaneously as I'm unplugging, the energy that was feeding that belief now comes into my organic timeline, and my organic knowing and confidence, which we were speaking about at the beginning of the show, seems to literally fill up as an automatic. It's like, because, it's like I have so much energy. I have infinite potential, but I'm a finite energy in my body. That's kind of Carolyn Mace, where she says we have like 100 strands of these, tubes. And so where are we plugging those tubes in? Are we plugging them in, you know, to artificial timelines? And there's no shame if you are, because, gosh, that's what we came here to do. So let's take shame and guilt out of the picture, because it's really just about becoming aware. So once you're aware that one of your tubes is plugged into an artificial time thing, artificial timeline, and that artificial timeline is anything that you believe outside of you is going to fulfill you inside.
That's
what makes it artificial. It outside doesn't feed the inside. Inside creates the outside, which is what we've kind of been, you know, sharing examples of this entire show.
That's very good. That's very good. No, that's once again going against mental conditioning.
Exactly.
And very good.
Because the mental conditioning says a car will make you feel better, a boyfriend will make, or a girlfriend will make you feel better, you know. Possessions will make you feel good, you know. And again, you know, it's really ironic because these conditions were put in place by beings who don't follow that truth.
That's so true.
I know. The irony is that they're, you know, it's like, you know, teaching your... here's the irony is the way we treated animals seems to be, Scott just brought me two pieces of pizza and some napkins. Babe, will you turn that on because it's really warm? Jeannie goes, wow, she loves when you're good to me, babe. Thank you.
That was so nice. Last time it was a cheeseburger.
I know. We got a regular fast food restaurant going on over here.
Yeah, you got to keep me up with the menu. Thank you.
Jenny goes, keep her up with the menu. Oh, can you guys smell it? Yeah, it really was sweet. Thank you, babe. Yeah. Life is good over here in Scott's house. Go ahead.
No, it's so funny because what that reminds me of is, you know, when I do therapy with people, I have this, you know, sweet, light blue painted room with some of my art in it. It's just very comfortable and nurturing. But I always have like a bottle of water, and I have some kind of fresh fruit, which either it's grapes or, you know, sometimes, you know, and a couple granola bars. And
nice.
I really find
nice.
That, you know, outside of the box, you know, therapy is that, for me, it's the entire environment that the person is in, the nurturing quality, I don't watch a clock. You know, it's
nice.
Just such a different
nice.
Experience. And I can feel people, like, light up and go and become at ease. And there's just this, and I, you know, it's just part of, like, for me. And so when Scott brings you the food, it's just so, to me, it's so, like, sweet and nurturing. And,
very much. I agree with that.
Thoughtful.
I agree.
And,
yeah,
you know,
right on.
And I think that, you know, I do therapy with people. I'm like, of course I'm going to be thoughtful. I'm, you know, I'm with these people. This isn't just like, okay, start talking, and then, okay, we have to stop now. And, you know,
right.
It just, I think that the nurturing quality and the, I'm very much aware of the quality of the environment. And, yeah, and so I love when he brings you food.
You and me both.
It's really cute. It's really cute.
Yeah, well, life is
and, you
good.
Know,
life is
and, you
beautiful.
Know, it was about 10 of the hour when we were about to end that he brought you the piece of hamburger last time.
I know. It's almost like he knows. It's like, God, and of course, I'm taking bites, so now it's hard for me to.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
You guys rock.
Yeah.
And he turned on the air for me because I was really getting warm. And I was going to say at one point, oh, let me just go to bed. Anyways. Because, you know, I think a good question for everyone to ask themselves is truly, if you're in a space where, if you're fearful, if you're worrying, that kind of, everything we're talking about today really, the fear is letting you know you're focusing too much on the outside. Go within.
Because
I promise you, and when you go within, it's not one of those temporary fixes. Because I get it. There's when you go within, it takes courage, first of all, and it's imperative that you're honest with yourself. Because that's the way to go deeper in the levels, is you got to be honest with yourself. And it is going to take courage, because when I'm looking around at people who clearly can see the traits they don't like in their partners, but they can't see it in themselves,
mm-hmm.
You're not going to shift your life that way. You gotta go full circle. The first half of the circle is to have the awareness of how life works. You know, what makes people function, and what makes us all of us as humans, what makes us do what we do. And definitely look to nature to show, you know, how does a metamorphosis happen? Oh, it happens by, you know, 99.9% of us turning into mush. Okay, so when we start losing everything that we have, and including our marbles and including our, you know, our physical abilities, and you know what I mean, everything, when we turn into mush, well, if you know that that's the way nature does it from a metamorphosis point of view, that I would assume, at least for me, that brings me comfort. It immediately tells me, oh, okay, I don't have to be frightened of this. I have to simply just drop into it and trust it, because I know that's what's happening to me. I know I'm going through a metamorphosis because I've educated myself to, oh, that's what we're doing. You know, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Dennis had written some earlier in the chat room about, if you don't know about the zero point, you won't go through it. I disagree with that. I believe that the planet is going to go through a zero point. If you're on the planet, or you're going through a zero point. And I guess if you're not going to go through a zero point, maybe you'll go off planet. I guess that's so. Because even Drumvalo talked about it. He said the people that don't know about zero point, and this was an interesting thing that I'm not quite sure I even agree with this, but he said that they'll die and they'll kind of go to a waiting space in. He said people who don't do it consciously will go like to the 10th dimension. People that do it through a resurrection because of a religious teaching will go to the 11th dimension. People who will ascend will go to the 12th dimension, something like that. And he said, and what will happen is once all of us are in those dimensions, there'll be like an amalgamation, like it'll all combined into one. And then as one being, everybody will go through to the fifth dimension. These are octaves. The 11th, 12th, 10th, 11th, and 12th dimension are octaves of the fourth dimension, and then you'll go on to the fifth. Now, one of the reasons why part of when he said this I didn't resonate was he said, and they'll be waiting for them. And I'm like, they? You know, like, they who? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's that they again. You know,
yeah,
how many people
do
you hear say it's they? They're doing this to all of us. And they, the minute I hear the theys, you know, intuitively I go, everything I do, I'm responsible for. If I'm speaking to anybody, I'm speaking to my other parts of me. It's always about me. And I know, you guys all know this, Goldie is one selfish son of a bitch. And I recommend everyone being a selfish son of a bitch when it comes to the inside work, because the theys is the minute I hear they, that's now you're giving your power away.
Yeah.
You can do this, and if you need assistance, ask for parts of yourself that are in other aspects. You know, because I believe I already have an aspect in the 12th dimension, because when I came in through the 12th dimension, I left a part of me there. And then I came into the 11th, and I left a part of me there. So if anybody's going to help me, it's me. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you and good night. No, I'm only joking. Oh, well, we are at a minute 39, though. Okay.
I know. Can you believe that?
Nice. There she goes. 90 seconds. So, yeah. Well, you have any closing statements, babe?
Well, you know, I really loved that we really touched on, you know, delving into letting go of the mental conditioning, because I really think that that's what's causing a lot of frustration and stress, and also keeping us from knowing outside of that mental conditioning, which is when I think the world just is amazing, you know, and magical.
Right on.
And
I agree.
So,
I agree.
So I love that was a big theme of tonight, and
yeah.
Thanks. thanks for, you know, it's great to be emerging out of my silent 3 days and I talked.
You talk beautifully. Baby, it is always good when you emerge, but I'll tell you, learning perseverance and witnessing you go through your process is also really an amazing thing as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, thank you. Thank you for giving me a reason to wait patiently, because it really takes a special person in my life. I don't wait for many people. I don't. and I respect you enough that I'll never stop waiting for you. Whatever
thank
you need, you got
thank
it. You're
you.
Very welcome. And thank you, everybody,
mutual
for being
respect.
Here.
Mutual respect.
Mutual respect. Right on. For everybody. Right. Simon and Dennis and Marsha and Ellen and Lisa, who left, but hey, we love when you stick around. You know, you stay for whatever, you know, emergencies happen. And Janine, I thank you, everybody. This really is it's a dream for me to share this. My life, sharing it with you, is truly a joy for me. So I really appreciate everybody
thanks.
For being here. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks to Scott for the pizza.
Yeah. I'll definitely thank. I'll thank him privately.
Okay.
I love you, babe. All right. I'll talk
to
everybody soon. Yeah. Right. Thank you for being here.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
Started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.
Goodbye.
Good night, everybody. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The youngest girl over here, what's the worst? Well, no.